So Matthew chapter 7 this morning, verse 21. These are the words of Jesus. Yeshua was teaching on the mountainside. And this is part of his lesson. In verse 21 it records, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This passage seems to have a very similar impact on anyone that is beginning to seriously pursue relationship with Jesus. Growing in faith, open up the scriptures, and what I found through the years, when I was younger, now that I'm not as young as I used to be, what I found is that with men or women, as we begin to open up and talk about our faith and talk about what we're learning, what we're growing, it's amazing that at a certain point in relational conversation about our faith, that what I found is it's amazing how many people I've met that when we start talking about Matthew chapter 7, there is a consensus. That's okay, man. I love that amen. She's amen and ahead of you guys, okay? The children will lead us, so listen, all right? What I love is that we'll be talking, and so many people through the years have said to me that Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, is some of the scariest verses in the entire Bible. And there's a reason for how the Spirit of God uses this in all of our lives. And so I just want to say, this is the title of the lesson this morning: Motive Evaluation Needed. Motive evaluation needed. When we come to these scriptures, when we listen to what Jesus is saying, how in the world can we read these scriptures and it not make us evaluate and look at our own hearts and ask the very same question that Jesus has been trying to plow the ground and lay the foundation and present? Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, now in Matthew chapter 7, why do you do what you do? This is a consistent evaluation point. Motive evaluation needed. This has been a resounding theme in all of his teaching. Do you do what you do to be seen by others? Or do you do what you do to be seen by God? Now, I'm just going to say this is my opinion, but I believe that as we're reading these passages, the stakes are higher now because there's this sense of finality. Because Jesus has been teaching, so in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, he's teaching the heavenly kingdom, the Father's kingdom, this upside-down kingdom. This is different than what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all these people have been portraying about my kingdom, and I want to kind of turn things upside down, and I want to show you that what my Father is concerned about is inside-out religious pursuit, not outside-in. It's not works driven, it's grace, faith, it's mercy, it's forgiveness and repentance driven. So this is a message of Jesus. But in these verses, what now is changing is instead of talking about this is how to live out the kingdom here, now he's moving forward to a scene that's more final. Now we as people are standing before the Lord as judge. So the phrase, entering the kingdom of heaven, or on that day when Jesus judges them. Do you see this sense that now life has been lived and now there's a sense of finality, there's a sense of eternal, there's something different going on. The seriousness of two outcomes and the seriousness of two destinations. The kingdom of heaven with Father God, his Son, and his Spirit. The kingdom of hell without God, his Son, and his Spirit. This morning, we're discussing eternal outcomes. Again, serious motive evaluation is needed. And as we jump into this, peeling back what Jesus is trying, I believe he's trying to get our attention. It's just a continuation of what he's been saying. Why do you do what you do? What are your motives? What's going on inside of you? But understand that part of what we're going to read, I'm going to read some verses because I want to give you some verses to try to help you understand the context of what we're doing and how we're evaluating things. Because I'm telling you right now, I believe that we've got a number of people in here that you're like me. You're a recovering religionist. We're in recovery. So you're like, Pastor Tim, seriously? Yep, leading the way. Here we go. Let's learn to live in freedom. Got to let go of that shackle. Got to let go of that. Man, I got this thing like, man, I'm trying to serve Jesus with faith. And I got some draggage going on. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, praise God, you don't. You used to look at me like, what's wrong with that guy? Never mind. It's good. Some of you, rest of you, you're like, man, I'm feeling what you're saying, brother. You just can't acknowledge it because, like, stone face, don't do that. Because you get what I'm saying. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, and I want to mention this because if you look at Luke's record of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the only portion that Luke mentions about this teaching, about what he's saying, is he just says it this way in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? So let me jump to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. So just hang with me as I go through some of these verses. I hope that the scripture, the Spirit of God, will just enlighten your heart and open your heart and give you some revelation about the truth of what God is trying to reveal to us this morning. I'm going to be reading the New American Standard Bible, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Look, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what he said. That's what he said. And the truth is not in him. But whoever follows his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. The love of God. The love of God. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says that he remains in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. Now, I just want to mention this real quick. No, I won't mention it right now. I lied. Let me read this verse. 1 John 5, I didn't mean to lie. I just changed my mind. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 in the ASB. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and follow his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, if you're here this morning and you're recovering religionists like me, and what I mean by that, and you're going to see as we get to more scriptures, that you were brought up in a church or a church family or your Christian fellowship put this burdensome yoke on you. You know, when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, you didn't grow up in that kind of church. I didn't grow up in that kind of church. So following God and obeying him felt to me as a teenager a lot like this. I'm going to serve God. This is so much fun. It was hard. It felt hard. Because listen to me, and please get this connection. What was difficult is that we had these good teachings, and we're opening up the Bible, but somehow, and it could have been my interpretation. It could have been the way that I received things, but the way that I got things about the way that they were being said is that really what it was about, it was about me trying to follow God and me trying to do what he said. And it became this, nobody said these words, but it became about my performance and it became about my works and it became about my earnings. And so it was based on what I was doing. And then what it winds up being is there's this insidious silent thread. And what it is the church leadership was evaluating and scrutinizing everything that I did, and there was a standard of right and wrong, and whether literally fellowship would be withheld or love would be withheld based on your performance. And so what it wound up being, whether I liked it or not, is I started trying to perform to look like I was doing these things because the people around me that were watching me and holding me accountable are people that I respected that were in leadership. And so what wound up happening is my religious service became about all these things that I was doing, and I never understood that what I wanted people to see what I was doing because I wanted to get credit for it. And there was less about me having this freedom, like I was doing what I was doing for God alone. Now, some of you don't have a clue what I just said. And you need to stop right now and bow your head and say, thank you, God. I don't even know what he said. Others of you are looking at me going, I am not the only one in the room. Here's the thing. Relational love. I'm not saying that there's not challenges and you got to work through your stuff. But just like what the scripture says, it's not burdensome. I'm going to obey God because I have to. No, you don't. Look at me. I'm telling you, as a spiritual leader, you don't have to. He's not making you do anything. But at some point, you will stand before him, as we're going to talk about. The choice is yours. But love, relational interaction, relationship, faith, genuine faith, grace, faith, mercy, repentance, forgiveness, it makes things lighter. It changes my motives because now I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. Because I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. I've been changed. I've been set free. Do you see the difference? It took me a long time to get that. There again, I'm a recovering human religionist. Let's move on. James chapter 1, verse 22 in the New Living Translation, NLT. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. As we begin to break down these verses a little bit more, do you understand, can you begin to comprehend the level of self-deceit that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes? That these group of people are standing before Jesus, they're standing before the Lord, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, let me show you my trophy bag. Because I'm just telling you right now, it's pretty stinking impressive. And you look at how he responds to them. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Do you understand that the deceitfulness was all about self-deceit? We have to be real careful. And this is the thing. Jesus' teaching may seem hard to some of you. It's because he's trying to flush out this deceit that we bring upon ourselves because we don't want to look at our reality. We don't want to look at our struggles. We want to gloss over things because it seems more difficult than just opening up and saying, God, here I am. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9 in the New International Version. That's what he said. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Now, this is Jesus. Now, if you want to write a note here next to your Bible, Yeshua is quoting from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. And if you look, he's actually quoting. It's amazing that he's talking about Isaiah with these people that know the Old Testament, know the Pentateuch, and he's just saying, Isaiah was right. This is who you are, and this is what Isaiah said. What did he say? These people honor me with their lips. Jesus, the Lord, Lord, Lord. But their hearts are far from me. And brothers and sisters, we have to be careful in this present day and age because I believe that the deceitfulness of the evil one is being portrayed stronger and stronger because we are succumbing to those lies and that deceitfulness. But let me just tell you right now that what we're reading right here and what Jesus said, their hearts are far from me. And we have to be very careful and evaluate and look at our motives, and it's needed right now more than ever before. What's the rest of the verse? They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Made up religious dogmas, guidelines, denominational, theology, all kinds of stuff. I'm not against doctrine and theology. I believe every jot and tittle of the Word of God. But when we begin to lift that up and it divides people, I have conversations regularly and I tell people, if you're more concerned about Calvinism and Arminianism than you are the gospel message, you got something jacked up. Seriously? Don't you believe the two? Look, man, I accept it all. But if your belief takes you away from the gospel and disciple making, it's not of the Holy Spirit, even with Scripture. Some of you, if you're irritated, chew on it. The difference between hearing and doing. As humans, we can use Jesus' name and even refer to Him as Lord and not being known by Him because we don't have a relationship by faith through grace. Do you see what I'm talking about? These scriptures are scary. I fear God. I believe that He created. Think about this group of people are standing before God and they're saying, and look, we're going to look at the three biggies. These are biggies. These are like trophy level presentation things. So let's consider the big three. Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. Now, this is my bag. Now, this is my bag because this is my impressive trophy bag. This is the way I live my life. So when I say, wait a minute, let me find, there we go. We've prophesied in your name. And then you respond and go, ooh, yeah. So think about the reality. What happens when you prophesy? You state or proclaim the future and then it comes about. In the Old Testament, you thought you were big stuff and you did that and it didn't come about. Guess what happened? Seriously, a little bit tougher society back then. He ain't a prophet. Get rid of him. Lord, Lord, we have prophesied. Look at my trophy. Is this not impressive? Do you understand? I'm the man in your name. What else? Cast out demons. I like this one. Did some poop to the demon world. In Jesus' name, we casting out demons. Thank you. Y'all can. Hey, y'all awake now. That 8:30 service? Lord, Lord, we are demon busters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all getting in now? You see, my trophies. And think about it. We've done mighty works. The Greek here is wonders and miracles. These people stand before Jesus, literally had pulled off miraculous wonders. Lord, Lord, we do wonderful, miraculous, mighty things. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I call this? Reading your own press releases. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you think about these big three, and you think about, let's just stop for a second and understand. I'm just telling you right now, if you're looking at me like, hey, Pastor Tim, how you doing on that list? 0 for 3. 0 for 3. I'm not going to get on YouTube. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit is going to crash the money market, and you need to go buy tiddlywinks because they're the only things that are going to make. What's a tiddlywink? I'm just telling you, I'm selling tiddlywinks right now. Because they are going to be the deal in 10 years. I'm not doing that. I've been around demonic activity and I've been in situations and because God placed me there, I'm not looking for that kind of fight. If you are, come let us know afterwards. We'll put you in charge of that in this family. I'm not looking for a fight with demons and demonic forces. They're fallen angels. And in the pecking order, we're a little bit lower than they are. So what does that say about them? They got more might and power. These people had cast out demons. I haven't cast out a demon. And what does it say? Miracles have been take place. Hey, Pastor Tim, have you raised anybody from the dead lately? Never. I can tell you, can't tell you how many times I've been by the bedside of somebody in the hospital crying and begging God and wishing that I could heal. Never. These people could proclaim that they had done these things. And you know, for a lot of us, I'm deserving. These are impressive. But for many of us, think about that they are standing in front of the Lord. And I think that if we just take in the context of what we just talked about, that a lot of us, we kind of live with the same mentality of trying to impress other people. Oh yeah, I'm a community leader. I'm involved in our community. Man, y'all are rolling right now. I participate in our church's prayer chain. I am a very moral person. Thank you. I work hard at that, at least in public. Here we go. I am a leader in my church. That gets major cred when I show that one. And then I've got my church member pin. I'm a member of a church. Matter of fact, when they were giving out pins, I got one every year. And you know what? I have great character. Not only am I a moral person, I have great character. Are you still impressed? Here we go. Especially in our day. Champion of champions. I sponsor youth sports. And we have a lot of you in here, and I'm thankful for that. So don't get offended and quit. We need you. Okay? Here we go. Bible study leader. Oh, yeah. So what I'm trying to get us to consider is it's not just these people talking about these great things that they've done and say, Lord, Lord. If we're not careful, and like never before in this region, we talk about church. If you just listen to what people say in conversations in community, what is often said is, where do you go to church? And it's usually followed by, but they're a good person. Do you go to church? Oh, no, they're a good person. And so if we're not careful, in the just normal conversation, we get things out of whack, because if we're not careful, we buy into that and we start doing what we do to be seen by other people. And it's more about how other people view us than how he sees our hearts and what we're doing. This is what he said publicly. He made a public declaration in front of everybody. He said, I, the Lord God, never knew you. Depart from me. Can you grasp the finality of those words? Do you understand the self-deceit? They're literally coming to Jesus. They're coming to the Lord, and they're saying, Lord, Lord. They knew his name. They knew about him. They're standing before him, and they are talking to him with a level of confidence. And he literally looks at them and says, I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. Depart from me. They were deceived because they were impressed with all these great things that they had done using his name. Whew. Spirit of God, may holy fear come upon us this morning. Why? Why, you ask? The verse says that they acted wickedly. Tim, but you're telling me they cast out demons. They prophesied. They did all these things. In our current culture in America, they had to be right on target. They had to be God's people. They had to be successful. And this is what I believe has happened to us as a church of the living God over the last 20 years, is we may refer to these three things, but we've kind of changed the rules. Because if we have a huge building, if we have a huge property, and if we have a huge staff, and we're financially successful, don't we often say they must be godly? We may not refer to these three things, but we've kind of changed the rules, and they must be a man or a woman of God, because look at what is going on. Satanic music groups can get throngs of thousands of people together just because they're financially wealthy and because there's large numbers does not make them godly. It's time for us. We've got to do some deep evaluation of our motives. They did mighty things. But you know what they did? What it says? This is the words. They acted wickedly. They were lawless. Or in other words, let me say it like this. They disregarded the simple commands of Jesus. So look at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and leading up to 7. What did he say? Look at why you do what you do. Look at why you do what you do. It's more simple than that. So what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 in the NLT. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Now, if you have your Bible, if you have a written portion of Scripture, or you can make a note, I want, if you haven't done this before, write down Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, right next to verse 38, because he's going back and quoting and talking about the Old Testament in the Pentateuch when it proclaims the love for the Lord. And there again, when you get to verse 39, why don't you write down Leviticus 19 and verse 18 next to that verse so you can go home and cross-reference those? Because what Jesus did a fabulous job, Yeshua, when he was teaching, is he was constantly trying to show and connect the dots. He wasn't trying to brag about his knowledge because he was God in the flesh. He was trying to teach so the people understood. I get the law. I get the prophets. I get all these things. Matter of fact, I've got these verses committed to memory. And so when he's speaking, he naturally just comes out with psalms. He comes out with things from the Old Testament and prophecies, and that's what he's doing here. What I need to ask you this morning, are you willing to evaluate your motives? To honestly and sincerely evaluate why you do what you do. If you look in the New Testament, where Jesus' ministry was much different than ours today, and if you think about the words that I'm speaking this morning, we're trying to break down the words of Jesus. And in our current culture, the scripture says this, that in the last days, they're going to be looking for teachers. That just makes me tickle. That's so easy. I like that. That they're going to be looking for leaders, spiritual leaders. They're going to be looking for people that are going to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear to make you feel good about what you're already doing. Last week we talked about that the hard part is we got to be careful, because here's these people that are spiritual leaders, and they look like sheep, they act like sheep, they smell like sheep, they meh like sheep. You think they're sheep. They don't have that like goofy sheep's clothing, and you see this long snout like, "Come over here and talk to me." Some of you have seen that thing. It's not that. It's they look like sheep, act like sheep, smell like sheep. They look on every outward, but it says they're inside. They are ravenous, rapacious wolves. Because they haven't been changed from the inside out. They are still corrupted on the inside by their own sin. Do you know the difference? Am I one of those? How do you know I'm not one of those? What's your litmus test? What's your evaluation point of me personally as a spiritual leader? You've seen my fruit. And it's as simple as love. And it grows from there. You see me make hard decisions to love people that I didn't want to love. Okay. But she's right. Because if you invite me into your world and you say I want to be held accountable, I'm just going to do what you ask me to do. Because it's a loving thing to do. I love my kids, but I never discipline them. The scripture says I don't really love them. Okay, we'll move on. This love of evaluation has eternal outcomes with eternal destinations. Jesus is proclaiming this because he loves us. He's not trying to tickle our ears. He's trying to tell us, guys, listen. This is tough love because this is going to be a point of interaction. There's a destination confrontation that we are all going to have. And just because you refuse to reject it, and this is what people do today, because we don't want to be held accountable, because we don't want to face this level of evaluation and scrutiny, what do? We throw out the belief in God. We say we don't believe in God, because then if we don't believe in God, then we don't have to self-evaluate on the really hard issues that we have to come to terms with. Jesus said, I love you enough. I want to help you. You need to look at your motives, and I will help you with that. That's why for all of us, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Getting into the scripture is so hard because when we get into scripture and really begin to dig in, it's like doing self-surgery. But the Spirit assists us because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes down, it divides, it separates. What are we talking about? It helps us with our motives. What did David said? God, you help me understand myself. Show me the wicked way in me. I need your help. Reveal to me my own sin. I need your help in this process of evaluation. Because I don't even sometimes know my own motives. So I can tell you this. I live this out and do this more now than I ever have. When we first got married, some of you sat in our marriage classes, I didn't do this quite as easily because Lori and I'd have conflict. And I didn't want to admit. I didn't want to talk about my motives. I'd try to cover things over. So I'd create a bigger fight because I just didn't want to come clean about what was really going on inside of me. And then years later, when I would come clean about my struggles and what was going on, and I stopped trying to act like I had my stuff together, I remember being blown away one time when I just really came clean about what I was really struggling with, and her face kind of changed, and her eyes got really tender, and she just looked at me, and really, because I'm a guy, I was kind of dumbfounded, like, what's that for? And she told me later, when you're honest and vulnerable, and when I see the real you, and you don't cover up, it touches my heart deeply. And even as thick as I am, I'm like, note to self. This is a teachable moment here. So some of you sit in the marriage class and you're like, Pastor Tim, you really couldn't have been that dumb. No. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 states, please hear this. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think he is. No, he's being patient for your sake, for our sake. He does not want anybody to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Do you know that this group of people that he's using as an example that were standing before him bragging about what they did, do you know that he did not want them to be there and be driven away? But at some point along the way, by the work of the Spirit, they made their own choice that they were going to believe what they wanted to believe more than what they studied in Scripture. And we have to be really careful that we don't deceive ourselves with all of our impressive stuff that we can present to other people, and they respond by saying, there you go. Y'all are right with me today. That's amazing. Jesus came and lived and died. He is long-suffering and doesn't return when we think he should, because he's waiting for that last person. The scripture teaches that he's waiting for that last harvest of Gentile, non-Jewish people to believe, to repent, to come to faith in him. He is a loving God, and He loves us enough to be straightforward and honest. And this is what I want to say. For those of you that have heard this message today, this scripture is being proclaimed over you. You are without excuse. I love that noise up there. Man, if I were up there with them right now, that'd be awesome. Please hear me. The choice is yours. Will you look at the real you and why you do what you do? And you know what's beautiful? Forgiveness and repentance are two of the most beautiful gifts from God. You say, Tim, God's too hard. No, you just don't understand. You don't understand who He is. And I'm just telling you, God is amazing and He loves us enough to be straightforward and tough. And I know that in our current culture, this message does not match a lot of the message that we hear. But I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you the words of Jesus, because those words are eternal and those are what we'll be held accountable for. So, Father, God, I have no idea who You're pulling on their heartstrings, how Your Spirit is drawing and wooing people, but I just want to say thank You. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for so many years. I feel like so often I did things for the wrong reasons, and yet You didn't give up on me. So, Father, I stand here this morning and I fear You. God, I respect You and I'm in awe of You. And I just ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to turn to You and confess their sin, that they would understand that You are standing there with arms wide open to receive them. I ask You for a holy evaluation of our motives this morning. And thank You for the privilege of responding to You. God, do in us what You want to do, and use us to take Your message of love, Your message of care to this lost, dark world. Father, help us to be willing to fight for other people's lives who are being deceived. And God, help us to do what You ask us to do. In Jesus' name.